We're going to come to the baptism in a little bit, but just before then, I want to talk about death, which is not the kind of subject you really want to hear. However, it's highly appropriate because this is the night that we remember that Jesus was in the tomb before rising on Easter Day. You know, Greg Sheridan is a reporter and writes in The Australian, and he wrote this morning that before the first Easter and the first resurrection, humanity was fairly glum about death, including in the Old Testament. The reading that Peter just read for us talked about how bad things were if you were dead. You couldn't do anything. And he's not the only one. It has a final question. If mortals die, will they live again? And the psalmist that you heard just now also laments the fact that being dead prevents people from doing good or from praising God. You'll find that theme in Psalm 6 or Psalm 88 or Psalm 115. And to all intents and purposes, that was the situation that those disciples and the women who'd followed Jesus had on Good Friday. Suddenly, their dear friend, their Lord and Master Jesus, was dead. They'd seen him die, and they knew that he'd been placed in a tomb, and they didn't know what was going to happen next. I wonder if you've ever felt that we're in a situation where we're trapped, or where things seem to have come to an awful end, and we don't know what to do. And yet, there's also a note of trust. And we find that particularly in Luke's gospel account of Jesus dying on the cross. One of the words that Jesus said was, "I, into your hands, I commend my spirit." That's a phrase you've probably heard from time. "Into your hands, I commend my spirit." And it comes from the psalm that we just read, written hundreds of years before that. And Jesus, in the night on before he was betrayed and killed, prayed, "God, your will be done." An astonishing thing to pray, faced as he knew he was with his impending death. He says these words in the psalm, "Lord, I've come to you for shelter. Let me never be put to shame. Oh, deliver me in your righteousness. Be swift to save me. Be for me a rock of refuge, a fortress to defend me." There's a note there that something's stirring. Something's going to happen differently. And although they'd buried Jesus, and although, as you just heard, they'd placed a guard of soldiers so that he couldn't possibly be, his body be taken by the disciples, on Easter Day, tomorrow morning, we will celebrate the fact that Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore, and he was alive, and people had seen him and met him. It proved that he was indeed the Son of God. It proved that God loves us. Each one of us here is loved by God. It proved that God can forgive everything we do wrong. It proved there is, in fact, life after death, and that God can heal in amazing ways. Easter is true. That same reporter went on to say that he was looking at a book by another reporter, well established in the United States, who was saying all the evidence that we have that Jesus Christ came to life on that first Easter day is absolutely sound. You cannot put anything in there to doubt that. You know, Peter, Jesus' disciple, was there when Jesus was being tried. He saw his Lord being crucified, and he met him afterwards on a number of occasions and knew that he'd risen from the dead. And years on later, he becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem, like the headquarters of the Christian church. And they've had all sorts of things going wrong. The Romans have come in and they've been dispersed, all of these believers, across the end of the Mediterranean. just the same part of the world that we're thinking of, where war and all sorts of things are happening. And these Christians had ended up in lots and lots of different places. They were almost like in exile. And Peter, the man who knew what it was to serve his Lord, knew what it was that Jesus had risen from the dead, writes to them in the letter that you heard just now. He says, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance, just like we sang in the song just now, that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know, there are very few things we have in this life that don't fade or don't lose some of their value over time. But Peter's saying, that's not true. If you're a Christian, that is completely safe, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in this last time. And he went on to them, although they might have been sad about all that had happened to them, in this you rejoice, even if for a little while you have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, is tested by fire and may be found to result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. And he went on, although you've not seen him, although he had, but although they hadn't seen him, you love him, and because you believe in him, you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy for your receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Crystal and Annalia and Ava, you are reminding us today that when we as Christians were baptized, what we did was we died with Christ and we came alive again because he was risen from the dead. And we die to our sins and all that keeps us from God, and we rise to live a new life where God is in charge of our life. And you're praying for that for your dear ones, your dear daughters today. But we're also praying for you, Crystal, that this will be true in your life. So it's very special what you're doing today, and we deeply appreciate that you're doing it. And I just want to finish with a few things that Peter said to this church for all of us who've been baptized already. He said, be holy in all your conduct. That's a request to the church. Be holy in all your conduct. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4, he says this, come to him a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. I may have told you this story before, so forgive me if I didn't, if I have. But there was a story of a man who was going past a building site, and he saw all these bricks, and he took one look at them and thought, these are not easy to make with. These bricks look like bananas. If you can imagine, you see the bricks here, that if you have bricks that are bent like that, it's going to be very hard to put them together. But they had a real master builder on the site, and he managed to do wonders and make this beautiful building, even with these bent bricks. And the writer of the book said, this is like churches. Actually, we're not always easily formed to fit with one another in the church. But actually, God, in his mercy and through his Holy Spirit, can form us to be the church that he's calling us to be on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And so he finishes the bit that you heard read earlier. Live the rest of your earthly life no longer by human desires, but by the will of God. What account will we one day, each of us, give to God for how we've lived our lives? He says the aim is for us to live in the Spirit, to maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Serve with one another with whatever gift you've been given. You know, Crystal, you've been given a gift or several gifts by God. And God longs to use some of those gifts in the service of his church. But he also longs that we'll all of us do that. That includes me and each one of us here. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. What an astonishing thing. He's asking those Christians that when they're talking to one another, whatever we say must be the words of God. So, Lord, we thank you, Crystal, and your daughters for being baptized and being confirmed today. We thank God for this church and for all who worship here regularly. Pray for your Easter day tomorrow, that it might be a day of astonishing rejoicing, because where else have you ever heard of somebody coming back from the dead? This is our God, whom we fall before in love and wonder and praise, that he loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us on a cross and to be rise again to prove that all he said about God was entirely true. Amen.